Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Current Issues, the radio show. I'm your host, Hisham Tilawi. With the second hour, ladies and gentlemen, we will continue speaking with Stephen Snegoski. We're talking about the war in the Middle East, amongst other subjects. We talked about in the first hour about John Sharp, who is the Catholic publisher, who was recently suspended from the Navy. We will continue with what is happening in the Middle East. Stephen, are you still with me?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Okay.
I could just make one additional comment, though.
Go ahead.
In talking about the neocons, it's not simply that they're predominantly, though not solely, Jewish, but they have had connections. Their connections are with the Israeli right, the Likudniks. And we think of the founder of the Israeli right, Zev Jabotinsky, whose idea that Israel had to establish an iron wall in the Middle East. In other words, Israel would have to, the Jewish state would have to beat down its enemies in the Middle East and rule over them by force. So there is the emphasis on military force that prevails more on the Israeli right than on the Israeli left, and it's the Israeli right with whom the neocons identify.
Okay. Very good. Today, the Security Council, actually a few hours ago, had voted unanimously to place sanctions on Iran if it does not stop the nuclear enrichment, as they put it. And Iran has said that we will continue no matter what, and the United States said that within 60 days we will decide what our next step will be. How do you see that game played in the next couple of months?
Well, that's a difficult one. We know that the neocons and the Israel lobby that transcends the neocons, AIPAC, and Israel, the Olmert government, seem to be pushing for a war on Iran. You know, when I say pushing for war by Israel, not that they're going to attack, but that the United States should do something, that just these UN, these sanctions and whatever, that's not sufficient. You have to stop Iran, because one of Israel's fundamental goals is to maintain a nuclear monopoly in the Middle East. Israel has supposedly between 200 and 400 nuclear weapons. It wants to make sure no other country in the area has any nuclear weapons. So that's a fundamental goal of Israel's. I might also add there's a concern about Iran giving support to Hezbollah and also, I guess now, to Hamas, so that Iran is giving support to Israel's enemies in Palestine and in Lebanon, and this too Israel wants to eliminate. So they see Iran as their greatest danger at the time, this time, and certainly would like the United States to move on Iran. And of course, the neocons are pushing for this war. However, there's opposition in the United States, both from the military and from the foreign policy establishment. The military really seems to believe that Iran
Steve,
would be a tough nut to crack.
Stay with me for a second. We'll be right back after the break. This is Hisham Tilawi.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are speaking with Steven Snigoski about almost everything. We will be, by the end of this hour, we would have covered 9/11 to the war, to everything you need to know about what is going on in the Middle East, the war that we said we're going there to basically bring democracy to these people who did not have democracy. Steve, the...
Can I continue what I was saying?
Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
In terms of the difficulty...
By the way, Steve, are you listening to the program on your computer?
No, I am not.
You're not? Okay, good. Because we're having
my Word documents on, but I don't,
okay,
I don't have the internet on at all, so I don't know what the problems might be.
Great, go ahead. Go ahead.
But just from reading on in the newspapers, there does seem to be a concern by military experts as to what Iran could do if it were attacked by the United States, that it could unleash some of the Shiite militias in Iraq who would attack American troops. It has rockets and that it could shut down the Straits of Hormuz, through which a large percentage of the oil goes through. It does have rockets that it could hit American ships in the Persian Gulf or Arabian Gulf, whichever we're going to call it. So Iran is not presented as the pushover like Saddam's Iraq was. Of course, Iraq had been weakened by the sanctions and everything. Iran has had quite a bit of money recently with the increase in the price of oil, and it has been purchasing weapons. So, yes, America could beat Iran, but it wouldn't be, there'd be some damage that Iran could do, and it could cause chaos on the whole global oil market through such a war. So both the military and the business interest and the foreign policy establishment are very much opposed to this war and would like some type of negotiations. And this is, of course, what the Baker-Hamilton Iraq study group called for. But, of course, President Bush rejected their advice.
So what does he have in mind, do you think? I mean, that's the true on the ground, that this is not a war that's going to be similar to the Iraqi war. We will not be sending any troops on Iranian soil. If we do, we'll be really stupid. So what do you think George Bush is thinking of?
Well, I'm not sure if he realizes, you know, what can be done. But we do hear talk, as crazy as it is, that the United States might resort to nuclear weapons in an attack on Iran. That is being bandied about. Now, I find that hard to believe, but the very idea that this can be mentioned, you know, shows things are very dangerous. That the United States does not have the wherewithal to knock out, you know, Iran, except relying on a nuclear arsenal. This wouldn't necessarily mean larger nuclear weapons, but the smaller nukes that could knock out factories and things. But that still would cause a lot of collateral damage and would really, you know, say, you know, sort of let the nuclear genie out of the bottle. And boy, that could lead to you know, other countries engaging in nuclear wars. It's certainly something that the United States has sought to avoid since World War II.
Now, if Iran, for instance, if they do happen to get the bomb, Israel has, I had Mordechai Vanunu on the show last year, and he said when he was there, Israel had 200 nuclear bombs, and I asked him, how many bombs do you think they have now? And he said 400. We have about 10,000 nuclear bombs. So if Iran gets one bomb, what danger? And if Iran would make the fatal mistake of using this bomb, I mean, what's going to happen to Iran? It's going to be erased from the face of the earth, not the face of the map. And so I'm sure the Iranians, they were not a threat to the United States. They would never have been a threat. And as a matter of fact, they were not a threat to Israel either.
Well, I think the a fear on Israel's part is that if any of their enemies had nuclear weapons, it would serve as a deterrent against the Israel's arsenal. So no, that Iran wouldn't necessarily launch an attack, but it would be more difficult to push them around, because one would never know whether, if they were pushed in the corner, you know, they might use a nuclear weapon. They couldn't be intimidated as easily by Israel's nuclear arsenal. So, you know, the argument has been the United States would not have invaded Iraq if Saddam had nuclear weapons.
But Iran was never a threat to Israel. Was never a threat to Israel. I don't remember any time, besides the rhetoric of Ahmadinejad, Iran was never a real threat to Israel.
Well, it depends from the Israeli perspective now, their support of Hamas and their support of Hezbollah. In other words, the fact that Israel wants to eliminate any outside support to the Palestinians, which Iran supplies. Israel also wants to have a free hand in Lebanon, which Lebanon's been invaded by Israel a number of times, and certainly Hezbollah, which is supported by Iran, is able to put up pretty stiff resistance. So Israel wants to have Lebanon as sort of under Israeli control, just like they would like to have the Palestinians to be obedient to Israeli demands.
Now, if we look at the Middle East today, we said we're going there to promote democracy, but our allies in the Middle East, they're far from being democratic. Our allies are Saudi Arabia Egypt, Jordan. These are countries that are not democratic at all, but we are promoting them, and those are our friends. How do you explain that?
Well, let me just add here, promoting the we there, I think, would be more the Bush administration. The neocons also have been, in the past couple years, talking about attacking Saudi Arabia, too. So regarding the neocons, none of those countries, even Egypt, is very safe. I guess Jordan is pretty much safe from attack because it generally does what the United States and Israel want it to do. But everybody is sort of threatened by the from the neocon position. Yes, they would like to bring democracy there too, or what they claim to be democracy. They claim that's their position, but of course they have to focus on one country at a time.
Now, a few months back, President Bush visited Jordan, and a day before, Cheney was in Saudi Arabia to basically have them siding up in the same camp with Israel after the United States policy had created this huge gap between the Shiites and the Sunnis there. And as you know, Iran is a Shiite state, and there are Shiites in a lot of Arab countries there. So they are creating the environment there in the Middle East where you have the Shiites supported by Iran on one side that is appearing to be a threat to other Arab countries. And since Israel is an enemy, supposedly, of Iran, and they're creating animosities between the Sunnis in the area and the Shiites. So basically, Iran is appearing to be an enemy to some of these Arab countries there. Are we going to see an alliance there between some Arab countries and Israel?
Well, I think Israel's goal, at least from the Likudnik position, the idea that the Israel's enemies would be divided or fight among each other, well, certainly the Sunnis fighting the Shiites throughout the region would benefit Israel, just like Israel benefited from the Iran-Iraq war in the 1980s, when Israel basically was covertly supporting Iran, the United States was supporting Iraq. But from Israel's position, it just wanted to have both the countries exhaust each other. So, yes, Israel would benefit from a Sunni-Shiite war in the Middle East because it would weaken all of Israel's enemies. So that would, I think, fit in with the Likudnik idea of weakening Israel's enemies.
In 2 years, we're going to have a new president, regardless of who the president is. How do you see us in the Middle East, or how do you see us involved in the Middle East in 2 years' time?
Well, my feeling would be something, if it's going to happen, will happen before that time. That this development, you know, will things stay the same in Iran? Will America sort of, is it possible to move up over to the, let's negotiate the issue, the Baker-Hamilton position? But geez, right now, I have a feeling we're moving more toward the war position. And just recently, Senator Jim Webb from Virginia wanted to include in the funding of the Iraq war a statement where any attack on Iran would have to be approved by Congress. But the Democrats, influenced by the Israel lobby, removed that requirement. So apparently Bush could go to war against Iran without any approval from Congress.
Very good. We'll continue with this in a couple of seconds after the break. We'll be right back. The call-in number is 800-313-9443.
Uh, How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Imagine a firefly, simple and innocent, the ability to light the night sky. The ozone layer, unseen by the naked eye, life-sustaining. Our ocean, primordial soup, breathes life. Bring the wonders of nature home.
Soleil salt lamps, handcrafted from million-year-old crystal salt, will gently ionize and purify your indoor air, helping you breathe easier. Nourish your mind and body with soothing colors for deep relaxation, and neutralize EMF radiation, protecting your family's health.
Visit SOLAYwellness.com for powerful, simple, life-sustaining Soleil wellness products, created from nature in harmony with nature.
Hi, I'm Isabella, founder of Soleil Wellness. Visit us or call 866-497-0274. 866-497-0274.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Hisham Tilawi coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Steve, Jimmy Carter wrote a book recently, and I read the book. I really did not see any new information in his book, and on most of his book, basically, his memoirs about what he saw and what happened and the people he met with and how he looked at things. Even though Jimmy Carter probably was the most pro—I don't want to say pro-Israel—but he has done so much for Israel. Why was he attacked because of his book?
Well, of course, the very term, I guess, it was Palestine peace, not apartheid. He did go over quite truthfully what's taking place in the occupied territories. Now, we in America, we don't hear it that much. We don't really, most people don't know what's taking place in the occupied territories, even though you can sort of find that in the Post or New York Times, but you have to look back a couple pages when Carter told the truth about what went on, you know, goes on there. The Israel lobby was enraged about what he said, especially when he used the term apartheid. But we know that Nelson Mandela said that what exists in the occupied territories is actually far worse than apartheid had been in South Africa. So it's a little the reality, I think, is a little different than how the folks in the Israeli lobby perceive it.
So many people on his board of directors actually resigned at one time, and I looked at some of these names, and some of these names were Jewish, and my question to you is, was that an attempt to destroy Jimmy Carter's organization?
Well, I think it was. However, I also read someplace about the number of people in the board of directors. Apparently, it's very large, like 200 or something like that, so about 14 resigned. So it really was a small percentage, though the media made it, I think, appear much much larger than, in fact, it was. I just wanted to add, when you mentioned about Jimmy Carter's position, it seemed like he bent over backwards to present Israel in a favorable light. For example, he kept saying he wasn't talking about racism or whatever. Well, geez, I guess you could see it as that, because these people are being treated differently depending upon their ethnic background. Also, he emphasized he was not talking about Israel proper. He was only talking about the occupied territories. However, Palestinians are treated as second-class citizens in Israel proper, too. They're not treated as badly as they are in the occupied territories, but they're certainly not treated as equals to Jewish Israelis.
That is true, because we have seen that during the war with Lebanon, the latest war with Lebanon, where Israeli neighborhoods had basically they had underground protection, but the Arab areas did not even have any protection from the Hezbollah Katyushas and rockets. So definitely, just in that area, we can see how. And I talked to people. As a matter of fact, I had a gentleman on the TV show last week who was from Nazareth. He was an Arab. And they will tell you how horrible situation it is for them in Israel proper, which we term them the Arab Israelis, because they do have the Israeli citizenship. But definitely their schools are not, you go to an Israeli school and it's the 21st century model, most modernized and westernized, and you go to Arab schools and they are basically, you know, like you are visiting an African country. So definitely there is racism, and there is there's a difference, and there is apartheid in Israel proper too, which, like you said, Jimmy Carter kind of stayed away from that. Samuel Huntington's book, and I read his book, this Clash of Civilization stuff. Why do we have to read and then listen and then do what this guy is saying? Because definitely we are somehow on the way of this Clash of Civilization. Why are we, well, why the West seems to be targeting Islam?
Well, again, like I said, you know, the foreign policy establishment, you know, really is against these warlike activities on the part of the United States in the Middle East. But, you know, again, there is, through propaganda, Americans can be riled up about there's an Islamic threat, they're different from us, there's, you know, I mean, actually, we're engendering racial hatred or religious hatred. These people are crazy, they're fanatics, you know, all kinds of things that we're taught as being wrong when applied to other racial and ethnic groups seem to be applied against the Arabs and other Muslims.
Very good. We'll catch that one up when we come back, and I'm going to ask you about the media responsibility in all this. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and I appreciate all the callers who have been patiently waiting. And promise the next of this, what's left, we have about 30 minutes left, less than 30 minutes left, we will spend it with you. And I asked you about the media, but Steve, we must go to the callers. We'll talk about the media if we have more time.
I'll try to get questions.
Great. Let's go with Richard in North Carolina. Go ahead, Richard.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Are you there?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I had just two quick comments, if I may, and the second one's really a question for your guest. With respect to the issues in Gaza and Palestine, I'm not anti-Semitic. Half of my family is Jewish, and the other part is German-Irish. I'm one of the German-Irish ones, so it doesn't mean that I don't love my other family members. But I have been reading folks like, and I don't know if I pronounce his right name correctly, but Ilan Pappe.
Right. The Israeli left-wing historian, and critical of Israel's policies.
Right, yeah. And he would regard, I think, what has happened in Palestine, certainly in the past and also currently, as more like genocide or ethnic cleansing. Hello?
Yeah. Yes, sir?
Oh, that was kind of my comment, and I think that many rights need to be redressed there, certainly.
Okay, well, of course, this would go back to 1948. when a large percentage of the Palestinians were driven from their homes by terrorism. And, of course, the UN actually said they would have a right to, with Israel's creation, the Palestinians that left what became Israel would be allowed to return, but of course Israel will not do that because they say that this will undermine the idea of a Jewish state, that there has to be a great majority of Jews in the country. They can't allow really any more Palestinians back. And, of course, the population now is about 20% Palestinian. People on the Israeli right are concerned about the Palestinian Arabs who currently live in Israel and are thinking of ways of trying to remove them, too, as well as removing the Palestinians from the West Bank because Israel uses the resources on the West Bank. Israel depends on the aquifer under the West Bank for its water supply.
That's right, and so there are many issues, but certainly Israel has been, I think, more of a promulgator of war over the last 50 years than the opposite.
Well, but I think one argument that has been made is that because of the Holocaust and the historical suffering of Jews, they deserve to be able to return to their historical homeland. Of course, that doesn't seem to apply to other people, because I think President Ahmadinejad, when that was brought up to him on 60 Minutes, he said, well, yes, the Jews did suffer in Europe, but why are the Palestinians having to suffer for the injuries done to the Jews? Why isn't somebody else pay recompense? And, of course, I think he had a, as bad as he's made out to be, I think he had a pretty good point there, and I think most Palestinians realize why should they have to pay the cost or pay retribution for something they never did to the Jews.
Even more simply, just because the Holocaust occurred, and I don't diminish it in any sense, it gives no other group or the Israelis the group to commit similar atrocities. That's simply a fallacy.
Right. In other words, the fact that one group suffers, it doesn't give them the right to cause suffering on someone else.
That's right. But the question I wanted to ask you goes to a different issue, and then I'll get off the phone. And this has to do more with the role of Russia, with Putin and some of his ministers speaking more aggressively, so to speak, against the United States as a hegemonist and a unipolar power. It looks as though some of the powers in the world are beginning to become more assertive and to stand up against the United States, and perhaps that will help Iran in the end. I certainly hope so, but I'll get off the phone and let you discuss that.
Well, I think I might add that some people like Zbigniew Brzezinski are very much for American global imperialism. He sees Russia and China to be dangerous to the United States, so his motive for opposing the war in the Middle East is the United States is getting bogged down and is actually becoming weaker militarily and geopolitically because it's stuck in the Middle East fighting countries that are really not threatening to the United States. So I don't agree with Brzezinski. I am not a global imperialist, but even people of that ilk differ with becoming involved in these wars in the Middle East.
Very good. Rick from Texas, you're up next. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call. I've listened to as much of the program as I could, kind of in and out, so I haven't gotten all the information. But you said that Senator Jim Webb from Virginia sponsored a bill that a funding bill for funding the Iraq War that required congressional approval for an attack on Iran.
Yeah,
and you said the Democrats removed that.
He wanted to insert it. So he's a Democrat, too, but let's say the eventually the leading Democrats were able to remove that from the measure.
Well, my point is that I would go back to Senator Jim Webb and say, wait a minute, you know, you have to compel these people to go to Article 1, Section 7 of the Constitution that says all bills for raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives, and where it says the power that Congress has the power to declare war, period. And anything other than that is unconstitutional.
Well, I think the fact of the matter is we have been, you know, from the traditional meaning of the Constitution, we've been fighting unconstitutional wars.
I'm not talking about the traditional meaning. I'm talking about the letter of the law. You know, just because we haven't actually fought a war since World War II, because none of these have been declared, doesn't make it right.
No, I'm so, well, you know, like I say, but the fact of the matter is most Americans today, most influential Americans, do not believe that a declaration of war is needed.
The fact of the matter is that if the U.S. Constitution is still the supreme law of the land, then that should be what they go to, and anything repugnant to that is void on its face.
But Rick, if I might interject here, we're talking about Webb, and let's not forget who Webb is. He's the one that basically had a problem and threw a fit because Keith Ellison, who was the first Muslim in Congress, wanted to take the oath on the Quran. So, you know, coming from Webb doesn't really surprise me. And I agree with you. We have a lot of people in Congress who do not even know what's in the Constitution of the United States. I think it should be, before you become a congressman, I think they should be given a test of their understanding of the Constitution before they become people who legislate to the American people.
Well, there is a test. It's called your oath of office. They swear to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And the problem is that we, the people, if you saw the movie V for Vendetta, he said, if you want to know where the problem is, you need only look in the mirror. We, the people, have a responsibility to hold our representatives accountable to
Definitely.
Their oath.
Definitely.
And if we don't do that, then we're the problem.
Well, we are the problem, Rick. We are the problem. And I really don't see any solutions less than an American intifada here to take care of this situation.
By the same token, you also mentioned the responsibility of the media. The media is, to a large degree, the problem, too, because the media has acquiesced to the global elite. The American people are not getting the truth. They don't understand the magnitude of the problem. So therefore, they don't realize that how important their responsibility to hold their representatives accountable is.
Now, I agree with you.
And that gets back to Zbigniew Brzezinski and his affiliations with the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations, who pretty much in lockstep control the media through the large corporations that own them.
But the fact of the matter is, Brzezinski and most of the CFR, in regard to the wars in the Middle East, they have been against it.
Well, that may be on at some point, but you know you're going to have a hard time
from the very beginning. And,
you're going to have a real hard time.
I'm not saying I agree with his positions, but on the Middle East, the traditional foreign policy establishment has been cool or opposed to the war in Iraq and the perhaps upcoming war in Iran.
Well, perhaps that's the controlled opposition as
Rick,
well.
Thanks for the call, Rick.
You're going to have a
Thank you, Rick. Didn't mean to cut you off there like we did, but let's go to definitely Rick had excellent points and valid points. Let's go to Colorado with Rita. You're up next. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Hashem. And what's your guest name again?
Stephen Snegoski.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Stephen. Yeah, I have to say I kind of agree with your the pyramid scheme agenda is really kind of overplayed. And when we look at Russia and China, I think they really have an anti-uniporal agenda. And, it's kind of to them, I think, going along with these sanctions, because they voted with the sanctions, that they're really interested in bringing down America, you know, in taking down the unipolar world.
Yeah, I would think, you know, just like when the Soviet Union got involved in the extended war in Afghanistan, that helped to weaken the Soviet Union. Well, of course, it's weakening the United States to be involved in these wars in the Middle East. The fact that the United States is spending so much money on occupying Iraq and planning for a war in Iran, it's less able to deal with other areas in the globe or even develop new weapon systems. So even from I am not necessarily a global, you know, I'm not a global imperialist. I'm not a big military man. But even from the big military position, this is not helpful to America's global posture. And from the Chinese and Russian position, I think they would have some desire to have the United States embroiled in these wars in the Middle East.
So basically the vote was to tell the United States, today's vote in the Security Council, to tell America that you made your bed and you lay in it.
Oh, yeah, I think that from their, you know, like I say, from their perspective, of course, I might say both Russia and China also benefit from trade with the, you know, so they have, they don't want to antagonize the United States too much, but from their own geopolitical interest, it's not harmful to them to have the United States embroiled in expensive and bloody wars.
I think where you do see the pyramid, though, is in the media, where they will always talk about the Security Council in Germany, like they were saying, UN / Holy Roman Empire. Like maybe we're just getting ready to scuttle the UN. And so that's where it's really coming from. It's kind of the media presence more than the nations, I think.
Stephen, what's the media role in all this? Are they the ones basically setting up policy, or is policy guiding the media? Which one?
Well, if we looked at both Iraq and the, you know, what's going on in Iran, the media has generally been, I'm thinking of what might be called the big liberal media, the Washington Post, the New York Times. They have not been as pro-war as the neocons or the neocon media like Fox News. However, you know, they have sort of gone along with the war in Iraq. They may have done a little hand wringing. Maybe we should negotiate war. But when when the final decision was made, the liberal media came down in favor of this war. Also, in regard to Iran, they've been putting up a lot of propaganda that really makes Iran look somewhat worse than, you know, it really does, you know, then the reality would make it. Now, on the other hand, it did seem like the media was sympathetic to the Baker-Hamilton Iraq Study Group. So they're not really leading the charge for war. However, they're not really resisting very strongly either.
Do you see any connections between those who pull the media strings and those who pull the neocon strings? Is there any connection there?
Well, there's some, but you know there are differences. My feeling would be that much of the media, with some exceptions, Rupert Murdoch, of course, is in the neocon camp. Most are in, I'd say, the liberal establishment camp. I think if the war were against Venezuela or something like that, you know, a non-Middle East country, there would be more opposition to an aggressive American policy, that there is greater sympathy for Israel, you know, in the media than I think there should be. Now, the media will put in some criticisms of Israel, but it's certainly not as truthful, let's say, as the media in Europe is.
Rita, are you still with us?
Yeah, well, thanks, Session. I think you've got some more callers, huh?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
That was the point I was trying to make, but
okay.
You do notice that they'll always say the Security Council in Germany, and that just, to me, that kind of raises a flag there. I mean, what happened to the Security Council by itself?
Well, geez, I really can't.
Okay.
Well, I can't comment on that.
I don't see the connection. What do you mean? I don't see the connection there, Rita. What do you mean?
I think what we see in Europe, and now Chancellor Merkel, the first thing she said was we need to have EU have an army. And so, what has happened, you know, periodically so many centuries is we see the rise of the Holy Roman Empire, which is centered in Germany. And all of these things kind of point to that cyclical sort of parting the flocks mentality coming back.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call, Rita.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Stephen, so where do we go from all this? Have we learned anything of what needs to come next or what we need to do? Because definitely we're not going to take care of this at the ballot box. It's not going to work. They will always have a majority of, when we talk about the Israel lobby in this country, they will always have the vast majority of those in Congress and the Senate and almost all of the administration's policies. So do we see any way out of this?
Well, we do see resistance on the part of some Jews. For example, George Soros.
Yeah, I read his article.
Who are concerned, and if you read the foreword, there is a concern that the neocons and AIPAC are just going too far. If there's some terrible war in Iran and some terrible things happen, American people might turn on Jews. So there does seem to be a concern that these wars could lead to anti-Semitism.
Okay, when we come back, it's going to be the last segment. I want to concentrate on that same point that you just mentioned. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. For the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Imagine a firefly, simple and innocent, the ability to light the night sky. The ozone layer, unseen by the naked eye, life-sustaining. Our ocean, primordial soup, breathes life. Bring the wonders of nature home.
Sole Salt Lamps, handcrafted from million-year-old crystal salt, will gently ionize and purify your indoor air, helping you breathe easier. Nourish your mind and body with soothing colors for deep relaxation, and neutralize EMF radiation, protecting your family's health.
Visit SOLAYWellness.com for powerful, simple, life-sustaining Sole Wellness products, created from nature in harmony with nature.
Hi, I'm Isabella, founder of Sole Wellness. Visit us or call 866-497-0274. 866-497-0274.
Well, Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Hisham Tilawi coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Steve, just in case if I wouldn't have time at the end of the show to thank you, I just wanted to say thank you very much for coming on the program. It has been a great honor and great pleasure having you on for the 2 hours.
Well, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to be on your show once again.
Yes, sir. Thank you. The point you are talking about is extremely important because is the Jewish community worried and concerned about what are these few pro-Israel lobbyists are doing that maybe the American public would turn against the Jews in the United States?
I think an element of it is, and the George Soros has actually said that before, that you know this can bring on anti-Semitism by exerting what people would see as Jewish power. If things went bad, especially a war on Iran, if there's the oil, you know, there's chaos in the Middle East, the price of oil skyrockets, the economy collapses. These are the types of bad economic conditions in which the American people could turn on Jews and people elsewhere, that they're to blame for these problems. It seems like this is a feeling. I might cite a book that went over that in history by Benjamin Ginsberg called The Fatal Embrace, Jews and the State, which sort of presents this type of theme throughout history, that in bad times, Jews can suffer. So I think that's definitely a fear on the part of Soros and some other Jews. However, despite Soros's billions, most of the leading Jewish groups seem to be maybe not as strongly for the war agenda in the Middle East as the neocons, but seem to in large measure be going along with the neocon position. We certainly see that in AIPAC.
As a historian, do you see any parallel to today's influence on not just the United States government, but also on some governments in Europe? Do you see any parallel from what's happening today of the Jewish influence to what had happened throughout history, for instance, during World War II?
Well, we do know, you know, I don't claim to be an expert on this. I don't want to get in trouble either. this is a taboo subject, but I think if you read Benjamin Ginsberg's book, The Fatal Embrace, the idea that the Jews have always been powerless, which is sometimes seemed to be assumed, that's not the case, that they have had some power, and sometimes people have turned against them, the poor folks, because of some problems that have arisen. But I do recommend that book. I myself am not an expert, but certainly today one can't say Jews run the government or anything like that, but they're very influential, especially in regard to the Middle East issue. And we certainly have, it's not simply you know, me saying this or some people who aren't very important. We know Mearsheimer and Walt, they're the Israeli lobby, pretty much documented.
Very good. Steve, thank you very much for coming on the program. Ladies and gentlemen, we will see you next Saturday, 4 p.m. Central. Good night, and see you next Saturday. Thank you.